order. I do not know what time it is. 8:40 a.m. Hey, not too bad. We will move on and just start with some introductions, and I will pass the mic to the right, and after we do the head table, I'll go ahead and wander around.
I'm right here. I'm Pam Metz, Vice President. Here, Jerry.
Jerry Arakawa, Secretary.
Ann Kaiser, past president.
David Hoffman, Silicon Valley chapter.
Diane Deutsch, Tehachapi, Greater Bakersfield Council of the Blind.
Okay, this is the table of all the legislative people. This is Dan Kaiser with my brand new guide dog from San Rafael, Pearson, who is a off-yellow lab. High yellow. Oh.
High yellow.
Well, I'm not there sure that's...
Okay. High yellow.
Thank you, Pam.
That would be Bill Landis' dog. This is Frank Welty. I'm here with my guide dog, Jeep. And as you all... Jeep. I drive. I'm the one blind Californian who has the legal right to drive Jeep. And I'm, of course, the lame duck Director of Advocacy and Governmental Affairs, but I'm mainly here in my capacity as a member of the California State Guide Dog Board. And that's it for now.
There you go. Are we going to talk about eliminating the Guide Dog Board? I'm just kidding.
Actually, there will be discussion about the board. Okay. So I know for sure next on my agenda is reading of the minutes, and I will pass this back down so Jerry can read the minutes.
And these are the minutes for February 21st, 2011. Okay. Meeting was called to order at 7:33 by Mary Beth. And you know, present were Bad Wolf and Kaiser. It's not scrolling the way it should. Okay, there we go. Jerry Arakawa, Nancy Unger, and David Jackson. Absent, Pam Metz, Lee Morton, and Ken Metz. Treasurer's report was not available, since Ken was not able to attend the meeting. The first topic of the, this meeting, this conference, the telephone meeting was a convention, of course, and we raised the issue of puppy raisers was discussed. Mary Beth reported that the puppy raisers are in place. The group is Gold Rush, and no backup is, it's not anticipated that we'd need a backup group at this point. A proposed seminar was discussed for the upcoming May convention, and the discussion centered around a seminar for the school to speak about an update, upcoming changes in their curriculum, as well as news about changes in their structure. Debbie and Pam were going to be contacting the puppy raisers to see if this they would send representatives to this proposed discussion, and it was mentioned that Mary Beth would could place a an ad in the connection to see if constituents might be interested in attending such a seminar. The proposed time was discussed at length, and we looked at a Thursday time from 9 to 11, or perhaps 10 to 12. And then, let's see, and I mentioned that Mary Beth would place the ad in the connection to see if there were there was any interest in the membership attending this. Okay. Saturday's program was discussed, And the topic of a walkathon was raised as a possible program idea for the May convention. The walkathon would be designed to promote guide dog use, and the way guide dogs work, as well as pedestrian safety. If the walkathon will not happen, an alternate program idea would be to replay the webcast of the guide dog board meeting, which was slated to occur on February 23rd. Jerry from Gold Rush will check out the grounds to see if the area around the hotel would be conducive to having a walkathon. And the idea of cane users was raised, and then was felt that they should participate as well if they'd like. The lunch program, we looked at pursuing a program of a skit developed by Robert Wendt, who had a humorous piece on himself acting in the person or in the guise of a guide dog and speaking about a life from a guide dog's viewpoint. And apparently that was said to be a very humorous and entertaining skit. If that wasn't going to happen, if Robert couldn't do it, the guide dog school's update could be another program possibility for the lunch. Committees. committee reports. Constitution and bylaws. Mary Beth will send copies of the Constitution and bylaws to all board members. And perhaps Lee can include copy of the Constitution in forward. A second committee would be working on updating membership, membership form. I thought I hit the wrong scroll thing, and I was ending up in San Francisco here. Anyway, Mary Beth wanted to set up a committee to look at changing the form, the membership form. So Pat and Ann will develop that. We'll look at that as a project with Mary Beth as an ex officio member. Okay, another committee that was discussed had to do with websites. And Mary Beth suggested that a committee should be developed to look at a website for GDUC. Mary Beth feels that we should work on developing this as a GDUC project. And perhaps there should be a tie-in to CCB's website or a tie-in with GDUI's website. Ann will ask Dan if he would put some time into doing this project and looking at the feasibility of developing this website. And Mary Beth will ask Ken if he would also like to participate. Okay. Let's see. Mary Beth will ask Judy Wilkinson, if she would be willing to continue acting as advocate for GDUC. And Mary Beth indicated she was approached by Guide Dogs for the Blind to see if GDUC would like to help defray costs for the video that was part of the police training certification. Mary Beth will send an email from GDB to the board to get their opinion. Fundraising. Mary Beth will contact Ken and Pam to see if to see if he, that's Ken and Pam to see if he would. Sorry about that. Yeah. To see if they, let me self-correct these minutes. To see if they have fundraising ideas that we could work on for the booth at the spring convention or future projects, like to see if Ken would be willing to chair the fundraising committee. The board will meet on March 8th again by phone to continue getting updates on some of these projects that we discussed in this teleconference. Meeting was adjourned at 8:35, respectfully submitted, Jerry Arakawa, Secretary.
Yeah. Yeah, this was a teleconference.
This was a telecall.
I apologize,
yeah.
You need the mic, Mary Beth?
No.
We might have some new people.
Good, I can rest my elbow again.
Okay, do you want to approve this one or correct this one first, or should I just move ahead?
And... Why don't we do them individually? I'll come around. You should just move each one.
Keep
moving.
Like you don't move enough around in this hotel?
Oh, no. I don't move around enough.
Okay. First, we'll just take care of these minutes. Is there a motion to approve these minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Are there any corrections or changes?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah? You think? Jerry knows most of the main things, so I'll let Jerry fix those. Any other discussion? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Abstentions? Okay, since a few more people came in, we will let them introduce themselves, and I'll let Jerry find the other minutes, and then we'll read those. All right.
I'm here, Mary Beth.
There you go.
It's Judy Wilkinson, and I'm here with my guide dog, being eye dog, Carly.
Yeah. Are you over here knocking things?
No, I wasn't the one knocking things over.
Okay.
This is Melissa Hudson with GDB guide dog, Anya. And just a quick shout out. Testimonials as of 1:30 p.m. Please sign up with Lily. And I may have to jump out early to get all that video stuff set up. So,
excellent. Yeah, and why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, David?
Okay. Good morning. The coffee is finally working. Yes. Yay. I'm here with my guide dog, Rolo. Yeah, Rolo's great.
Here you go, Jerry.
Okay. These are the minutes of March 14th, 2007.
You want
to
hold it?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. Meeting was called to order by Mary Beth at 7:35. And the minutes of the February 21st, the minutes of February 21st were approved by the board. Okay. And the first topic on the agenda was the had to do with the website, and Dan spoke about the GDUC website and had some opinion on the way it was it should be developed, and he mentioned that that for consensus for consistency's sake, the links should all look alike and should so that there's no confusion as people go down the link. He also recommended, because of the nature of this work, there's so many facets to this project that people should divide up the work involved into various parts and focus on different parts of the work. let's see. I talked about the consistency that Dan would like to be part of the agenda to provide recommendations to members at our next at our convention meeting. He is willing to coach people who want to develop different aspects of the website. Mary Beth said that GDUC is I wonder if this is right. Mary Beth indicated that GDUC is hiring someone to design a website and serve as a webmaster. I don't know if that's an issue that was just discussed. Okay. All right. Good. We want to have this person be available for web maintenance and continuing web design. The things like the forward issues of forward and the bylaws could be part of this. Could be put on the website permanently. Okay. And some of the important elements that Dan raised about the website is that it should be easy to use, should be easy to update and navigate through. And it was also suggested that GDUC convene a publications committee who would work closely with the webmaster or website committee to make sure that any publications that GDC did would be easy to work into the website. Okay. Mary Beth will send an email, an informational email to Dan concerning GDUI's website and their webmaster. And she also encouraged everyone to participate in this project and join the publications committee as well to develop and strengthen our publications. Mary Beth will ask Dan if he would be willing to head up this publications committee, so that we have special attention to ensuring that any publications would be workable with the website. the dogathon was the next topic of discussion. Ken said that the progress is occurring not the dogathon, but the specifically the mud strut was moving ahead here with continued progress happening in LA and Sacramento, and they're working on developing a brochure. We're waiting for materials from CCB Publications Committee, but it's moving ahead. The registration cost will be $25 to participate. Any kind of dog will be welcome to participate if the dog is on leash and well controlled. Okay. The date of the mud strut is September 6th.
10th.
Okay. Let me.
You're not at the meeting. No, I was there, but that was, I'm just reading the minutes.
You're just reading the notes.
So I'm gonna make that correction.
Was that he or they that said that?
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, we'll make that correction as the 10th.
Anyway, that's not the minutes, Paul.
Yeah. Well, both locations are set for the event, and both locations are already have been committed. Okay, so let's see. GDC members are strongly encouraged to participate. Of course. And there's firstgiving.com will be one of the dogathon websites, that's at the writing of these minutes, that's being developed and might be in place by then. But no, so okay. The people involved with the development of the strut in the north are Dan Kaiser and Jeff Tom, and in the south, primarily spearheaded by Ken Metz, Melissa, and Melissa Hudson. Yeah, they are the contact. The goal is to register 500 people. For the north and the south. Ken will be on the agenda for during the business meeting at convention to discuss this event and provide more details to the membership. Treasurer's report. Ken will email the report to the board this week. Okay. And convention, Mary Beth and Ann are having difficulty reaching Jerry concerning the grounds for the walkathon at the hotel. It's likely that we'll not have the event, and they will additionally try to, as we discussed in the last meeting, try to work with Jerry to finalize all the details of the cleanup, the dog waste pickup for the convention. Mary Beth is waiting to hear from Jerry concerning the surrounding environment, as I mentioned, for the walkathon. But it's the board decided in subsequent conversation that it's very unlikely we should work on this because there are just too many details that haven't been ironed out yet. So we will look at the alternative of discussing the school curriculum and class training as part of our program for convention. An idea for a convention program would be to give handlers an opportunity to ask school representatives about these changes in curriculum and class structure, and to offer suggestions to the schools as part of an open discussion. And there was a suggestion to place an announcement to that effect in forward to encourage members to participate in this program. Pam will contact schools to determine their availability for participation at 10 o'clock during the program. And Mary Beth will ask Lee to place an announcement in forward to that effect. Lunch
Robert Wendt has been confirmed to perform his skit on life from the point of view of a guide dog. And Ken will do a short bio on Robert, Robert, and email it to Mary Beth. Fundraising. Ken will get Mary will provide Mary Beth with a list of possible fundraising projects. Ken will have will bring a dog bed to display at the GDUC booth as a possible fundraising venture. The next meeting was slated to occur on April 25th at 7:30, and the meeting was adjourned at 9:21. Respectfully submitted, Jerry Arcala.
All right. Anyway, we will also take corrections, but is there a motion to approve the minutes? Second?
I have a correction.
Yeah. Is there a second to the motion?
Meredith, how can you approve minutes that haven't been corrected?
We'll have a motion, but then we'll also have changes and corrections as a part of it. Oh, you're probably right. I'm going to let Dan, because I know he has a correction.
Let's see. The discussion about the paying a webmaster was related to the first. They were presented as options. The first option would be to either go through CCB or ACB for a website. Second option would be that I would research the, you know, how much a webmaster would cost, to lease a site and to have that person, you know, do the work that we tell them to do. That was really the gist of the discussion. So they were just presented as options.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other corrections or changes? All right. Now we definitely have a motion. Is there a second for the motion?
Second.
Okay. Any other discussion about the minutes? Oops. No stepping on the puppy. All right. Then all in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Abstentions? Okay. I think the one thing I will ask is if, Jerry, if you could, after you have your corrections taken care of and whatnot, if those could be forwarded to Lee so that we can have the minutes put in forward.
Raise an issue?
Sure. Go ahead. Bring this down to Jerry.
This is just in reading these minutes, I've done secretarial work many, many times, but I'll tell you, I always ask in my role as secretary, and each membership is different. Typically, if you really do minutes, they're very, very short, or that is to say, the only things that are part of the minutes are action items. All the discussions are just, they're not listed as I've done. I made them extra long because I wanted to see where the membership wanted to go. But typically, when I do minutes, it's very short. We just do motions. We do the various reports. And that's pretty good. I did a lot of, as you heard, I went into some detail on the discussion. I wanted to see what the pleasure of the membership was. If you'd like me to do minutes in more the Robert's Rules traditional way, or do you want them fairly detailed? Thank you.
Okay, hang on just a second.
This is Judy Wilkinson. Jerry, you're right. I think the real key is we have to decide what's the purpose of the minutes. And because we're a statewide affiliate, I think it's really important to have some sense of the gist of the discussion. I know personally, I like to know how board members are thinking, and especially since you might be able to do those shorter items at convention minutes, but even so, many people aren't here. And I think people, my point is that I think people like to have some gist of the discussion, but I think action items always ought to be put at the, you know, at the front or the end of the minutes. There ought to be a clear section. Here are the action items. And if you've read your BC, you know that I sort of harped on this in my most recent editor's page.
All right. Is there any other discussion? So what do you think? Are you okay with that, Jerry, doing it that way?
I didn't have a preference either way, but...
what did the other members do?
I agree with Judy. I think...
That's what I like to hear.
I really want to have a... No minutes at all.
Oh, no, I didn't have
it. Oh, okay.
Okay. As secretary, that's often how I feel, too. Please, no minutes.
You know, in a wonderful world, we would not have to take minutes of anything. Okay. Is there anybody else that would like to speak on the topic? Okay. Then, as Judy recommended, we will do it that way, and Jerry will take care of those things and get all of the info. Yeah, making his job more interesting. Yes, we did. We voted on the minutes. So we're going to move on to the next agenda item, which will be the treasurer's report, and Pam Metz will be giving her report.
He will be giving it, okay?
He will.
Yes, he will.
Yeah, he is not here, so she will be giving the treasurer's report. I deposited $160 in cash and the rest were in checks. I deposited a total of probably $420, a little more than that. The total came out to, I remember these numbers very precise, $2,619.08. That's what's in the treasury right now. Now, Ken is going to send Mary Beth a more detailed report, and he's also, can I tell him? He's also going to resign as treasurer because he's just so busy with the mud strut that he doesn't have time to dedicate the time to the treasury of GDUC and get the information out to you guys and to Mary Beth. So as of October, he will be stepping down as treasurer.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, as Pam and I discussed earlier this morning, Ken is willing to remain in the position until October when we will be voting, we'll be voting for first vice president, treasurer, and one director. And so since Ken was serving a one-year term, he will just not be running in that election for that position, and we will have to get names of people that are going to be interested in that position, and they'll be on the slate for elections in the fall. Yes. Let me have Andy come take the mic.
This is Judy again. Could you why is it somebody can only serve a one-year term and not run again? Yeah, but doesn't that mean he could serve full terms? I mean, not that Ken isn't busy enough, but why would he be precluded from running again?
Right. This is Ann. If I may, let me just kind of clarify this a little bit. Ken ran for treasurer, serving a one-year term that was half of Mary Beth's last term. When she ran for president, when she became president, she gave up her her thing as treasurer. So that there's nothing about that he can't serve another term, but he's chosen not to run again. He's chosen not to run again. So I just wanted to give a little history of why it was only 1 year.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. Okay. So yeah, hopefully that helps. Yeah, no, I'm sure if Ken had the time and the ability, he would probably like doing that again. And certainly if he ever would like to do that again, he's certainly welcome to. So anyway, that's what'll be taking place. Is there a motion to approve the treasurer's report? Second?
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor of approving the treasurer's report?
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Okay. Next will be the membership report, and I'll give that. Pat is not here at convention, and I do believe it's health reasons that she didn't come. And one of the things that I'm very happy to say is that, you know, again, because it's getting difficult with all the things that Ken is doing, that he had a difficult time with getting out the membership form for people to renew their membership with GDUC. One of the people that has now come forward to help out with this for this next year and for however long she's willing to do so is Diane Deutsch. And we appreciate that very much. So, yeah, exactly. And see, we want members to get involved. This is, we need this. So, very pleased that Diane is willing to take this on for us. David Jackson and myself, and I know that the whole board did also get a chance to look at it. We did look at the membership form, and we made a couple of minor changes, and so it'll have a few changes when it's sent out this next time. And I think a lot of it is just, you know, changing things like formats that and we're not utilizing at this time and that kind of thing. So, yes, hold on just a minute. I'll get the mic to you.
Yeah, when I did membership, we had, you mentioned formats, and I understand not everybody has a Braille printer and it's hard to get a Braille printer. So, but I would, what I thought was really important, and I think it was, who was president before Sheila? Melita. Melita had a stamp which had the GDUC logo. Yeah, and you stamp it into a piece of Braille paper, and then you cover the application and staple it and mail it that way. Or you could stamp it on a regular envelope. And then we always know if we, you know, it's a reminder. Even if we don't fill out the form, we know when we see that logo, it's time to renew our membership. And it really helps. Just something that small would help. You know, I think I'm understanding about, you know, people can't always, you know, get to a Braille printer and it's a hassle and all that. But in lieu of that, at least use the tactile stamp because it just tells us all what it is. Thanks.
Yeah, good point, Dan. And since I know that Pam and Ken have that.
I have to go to where Diane is.
Right. That would be one of the things that we could pass over to Diane to utilize for sending out the membership forms. So we will do that. Is there any other discussion regarding membership? Okay. Then we will move on to an update about Forward. I guess Lee did not come to convention. San Diego was an awfully far distance. But I'll just say in brief, we need some content. That would be a good thing. So it would be good if we could get, you know, even just a couple of fun, humorous things, any kind of articles. Lee Morton is still currently the editor, and it would just be great if we could get some stuff going with our magazine so that there'll be something for everybody to read. Then that's pretty much all I have. Is there any other things that anybody would like to talk about regarding forward? Okay. All right. Then we'll move on. Next on the agenda is fundraising, and I'm going to let Pam talk about fundraising.
Okay. Fundraising. Okay. I brought Kingston's bed up that he received from Jay. If it leaves that booth, I'm going to hunt you down and find it. Because my dog likes his bed. He doesn't like the carpet in the room. It is a travel bed. It's in a travel bag. It has its own bag. It is the size of a bed that, if any of you buy beds at Costco, it's the same size. So it can handle a big lab. It's very lightweight. It just rolls up, goes back in the bag, and throw it in your suitcase. What Ken found out, they are sold six to a case, and they're $20 a piece, and we could actually sell them for $30 a piece, at least. I will show, let everybody see it, but again, I'm going to come at you if it's gone. One more thing, and also I'm working with Petco to see if I can get them to donate dog bones that I bought some, and they're raffle prizes, but I'm trying to get them to donate some so we can sell them as at the table also. Ken is also working on finding candles, and he's found a couple of companies, but he's trying to get responses from them with pictures of labs on the candles. So he is working on that. I am, because he sneaks it off in my computer. That's what we're looking at right now. Now, Petco, I take Kingston to get his baths there, and he flirts with all the girls. So we're trying to talk to girls into donating some bones, and the bones are nice.
Okay. Here you go, Judy.
I have with me, and I said I would bring this, I have a little tiny portable bowl that folds up. They come in packs of three. They're put out by, I think, something called Silver Star, and they only sell to pet stores, but I bet they'd sell to us. I'm going to pass this around the room. They come in packs of three, and the retail the wholesale is about $1.65 for the three. So I'm going to just pass them around. Yeah. And I'm thinking this could also be a really clever fundraiser. And you know, they're disposable. I've got two in my backpack and one in my fanny pack and a couple and one in my pocket, and they can use them a dozen, 15 times. And I've even fed her out of these. And they dry really fast. So I'm just handing them around the room now, everybody can see it. Thank you.
Thank you, Judy. I appreciate that you brought those. Yeah, excellent.
Let me have Andy pass the bed around.
Okay. All right. And Andy, if you would, after you help everyone get a chance to look at the dishes, if you would mind taking the bed around for everybody to see.
Yes, I have it right here.
Yeah. But then what we want to be able to do is also take it out to the booth until for the exhibit area.
Fully washable.
Yes.
Hang it out to dry.
Apparently this thing is very awesome. I've already held this thing. It's fabulous. I already know I want to buy one. there is one other thing that I happened across.
Watch it. It smells like Kingston, and he gonna know if somebody tries to his bed.
And that's a jewelry company, and I will discuss that option with the board. And apparently this person does Braille on their jewelry and all kinds of stuff. And so I'm going to plan on passing along this information. I've seen some of dishes like this. Okay. Yeah. So that'll be a possible option as well. But I like the idea with the beds and definitely the bowls. And when you have a chance, Andy, I'll let you give this back to Judy. And so, are there other fundraising ideas?
Does anybody in the audience have any fundraising
yes.
ideas?
Definitely from the membership. If there's any ideas, please feel free to...
I'll give you Ken's phone number.
You can call it, say, I want this. Okay. All right. Let's see. Is that you, Judy?
No, it's Ann.
Oh, it's Ann? Okay, pass this to Ann.
Okay, I got an email, not personal, but on the GDUI list, there was a, someone sent a thing about a pretty cool little first aid kit for pets. And that's something we talked about a long time ago. So I will reread that email and try to get the contact info and see if we can maybe have that as a possible fundraiser, because, you know, sounds like it's a really very small thing that will fit in a purse or fanny pack or whatever, and you never know when your dog's going to step in on a piece of glass or something and need a foot bound up. So I will look into that. That's it.
Excellent. All right. Thank you, Anne. And yeah, that would be good. Okay. Is there anybody else in the audience or anything that would have any recommendations or suggestions for fundraising ideas? Okay. Then next on our agenda is old business. And the first item is the website. And I am going to turn it over to Dan to talk about that.
Okay. I've been, researching this, and I talked to the GDUI webmaster, thanks to Mary Beth, who gave me that contact information. And if you were at the board meeting Thursday night, they talked a little bit about CCB's website and the role of the ACB in the new content management system. And this is what I was talking about in the last meeting that I was at here at GDUC, was how can we manage content in a way that one person isn't doing all the work. Because I can tell you, if one person's going to do all the work on a website, it's going to get outdated. So the new, and I cannot reveal some things because things are still in progress, and but I can tell you that the management system that that ACB is using is the same system that I'm using on my international radio project that I'm involved with for managing podcasts and managing my page every week, and you can do blogs, and you can. And so the nice thing about this is, A, it's probably going to be free to the affiliates of CCB. Whereas if I was an affiliate of ACB, I believe that we would have to pay. But not in CCB. So we'll have the same advantage. We'll take advantage of the same service, but free. So here's how it works. I'm Joe Smith, let's say, and Joe Smith manages the forward newsletter content on the site. So I log in to, www.gduc.ccbnet.org, something like that is how it's going to work. I get into the slash and my name, slash Joe Smith. And then I log in, and I give my name and my email address and my password. I see a little bit different web page than if I were to just log into GDUC's website. I see an edit box that I can click on, and I see a view, and I see several different things. So I'm going to go to edit, and then I'm going to get three things to fill out. One is the title. One is the body, which would be, you know, a description of what's changed or whatever. And then links. So if I needed to add a link or whatever, I could just, and you can copy and paste from one document to another into there, which is really nice. So there's not a whole lot of, if you know basic computer stuff, if you know basic web stuff, you can get in there and then you go, you go down to save. There's a save button. And then you just go down to save, and after you've done your changes, you save it, and that's all there is. So this will make it possible for people with very little web or no web management skills to sit there and just, you know, go down to a link and fill in the blanks, and then next week, or if the information changes, you go down to whatever link has changed, and you make the changes, and you may not have to change the whole thing. You just go down to, you know, so you'd have somebody that would manage, you know, the calendar of events page. You know, when, you know, people, it could be a one-stop thing. People can go and find out when the next guide dog board is, when next GDUC meeting is, when, you know, if there's a webinar somewhere about guide dogs or whatever, people could go to that. And so that would be somebody up. So one person isn't having to handle it. My recommendation is to simply go with what CCB's project is going to be, I think it will make it very good for us. It will make it updated. As far as the issue about Melita's old website, and I call it Melita's because it was when she was president, that GDU-CA.org website was up, and it's still up. We cannot find the webmaster to take it down. And there's no process on the internet for getting that removed. There's no entity or anybody that will take it down. So somebody must be paying to leave it up, because I can't imagine that's just sitting there for years. And so the philosophy of the website is not to duplicate. I would suggest would not be to duplicate. GDUI has a lot of stuff. You could link into, you know, you could basically, you know, just simply have a GDUI link, and anything you don't have, somebody's, you know, going to go to GDUI, and they'll have the links that we don't have, obviously, right? So that's, I would strongly recommend that GDUC just wait until CCB announces that the affiliates can now get on the web, and that I would be glad to coach whoever is assigned to certain areas after that, you know, after we break down how we're going to distribute the tasks on the website. So, you know, a publication committee might be really good for that. In fact, the people who could do the website could be on the publications committee. So Mary Beth could, you know, she gets around well on the web. Judy gets around well on the web. See, I got my committee going already. So thanks for volunteering. So sure, no problem. So anyway, that's my report. Judy, did you want to add anything to that?
All right. Okay. I mean, Dan, excuse me. I'm so sorry. A coffee's still not working. Sorry. So from a user's point of view, I've seen a lot of stuff out there that's really confusing for a blind person. The example I can give is a social media website, and the issue that I have, pardon?
She said like Facebook.
Yeah, so like for example, when you get on, they ask you for your email address and a password. Well, what they're asking for is your email password. The one that you were assigned when you initially signed up with your email. And I thought really what I'm hoping for is that from the user's end, it'll be really simple. So you won't have to deal with any of that.
Let me respond to that.
Well, when I was giving the name and password, I was saying from a management perspective. I wasn't talking about the user when I was giving the example. That was purely, I was trying to show how easy it will be to manage that part of the page. Now, from a user's perspective, there'll be no login. Facebook requires a login because, you know, you're identifying yourself and, you know, it's connecting you with your friends and all that stuff. But here, it'll be simply a web page, and we can make it as simple as we want. You know, I would envisage the page to look something like, you know, forward magazine, the minutes, events calendar, and of course you want the archive, audio archives. And probably a link to California state laws, so a link to, probably the guide dog board or whoever's updating, whoever updates that section the most. And then as far as federal, you could have federal, but just link it to GDUI. But other than that, you know, I think it's going to be pretty simple.
Products we're selling.
The three, and then you want to put links to the three guide dog schools in California and a link to the guide dog board and really, I mean, so it's going to be pretty comprehensive but simple to use.
Thank you, Dan. And I'm just excited about the idea. At the board meeting the other night, they're talking about the idea that they're hoping that this year the availability will start to become reality. Absolutely.
I have one sentence.
Don't hold your breath. You know, we've waited this long. We may have to wait, a little longer, but there's I call them, we call them the web, you've heard of the car guys? I call these our web guys. Our fabulous team at the moment, Greg Fowler and, Jeremy, Johansson and, Phil Obregon. They just are working so hard. And there's just a lot of it just may be a while, and it may not be by the end of the year. It's going to be sooner than later, but it may not be as soon as we truly like.
Ah, yes, definitely, and I totally agree with you, Judy. And I mean, hoping that's not with the idea of that it will happen. But just the idea that this is going to happen, it's exciting. So it'll be something for us to look forward to. And even if it does take another couple of years, I mean, the possibility of what we can do in the meantime to have things basically, kind of formulated so that when it's available, all we have to do is say, okay, Dan put this up and Mary Beth put this up and all that kind of thing. And we can be pretty much together as far as the kind of content that we want to have pretty much in place for what we're ready to put up. And the guys have worked awfully hard and it's great that they're willing volunteers. So I know that when it happens, it's going to be fabulous. So, is there any other discussion regarding the website? Okay. I'm going to move on. The one other item that I have on our old business is a discussion about the Constitution and bylaws. I'm going to turn it over to David, but just so that everybody knows, the whole board received the Constitution and bylaws. And David and I met on Thursday and went over a few things. And I'm going to let David talk about the items. Now, what will happen is that we will put in forward the entire Constitution, and I'm not sure what the best way is, but my concept in my brain says that after the Constitution, we would put a paragraph saying that below are the following items that we would like to amend in our Constitution, and have the article and section and so on after that to, so that everybody will have those things to look at and to vote for making amendments to our Constitution. So I'm going to turn it over to David.
Thank you so much. Can everybody hear me?
Yeah.
All righty. I don't know how much what our time frame is.
A little shorter.
Okay. So as Mary Beth said, we got here on Thursday and got right to business at 11 o'clock. And there are five items that we talked about, and these will be voted on in the next convention. So I will read these, and we can, do you want me, I'll read, Mary Beth, do you want me to read the list?
Read the list.
And then we can discuss them each individually, is that okay?
Yes.
Okay.
We'll try to give some brief time to it.
Okay, so here we go. Number one, elections of officers. And what we want to make sure of in the Constitution is we want a clarification of getting back on track. So essentially, we want to make sure that folks who are going to get voted in on odd-numbered years get voted in on odd-numbered years. Folks who are going to be voted in on even-numbered years get voted on in even-numbered years. Number two, alternate formats. There's been a lot of discussion about format distribution, not just us, but other chapters as well. Do we want to exclude two-track cassette, print, and Braille? And between Mary Beth and myself, it comes down to money. It's expensive. So that's something to chew on as well. Number three, and two and three are sort of kind of one and the same. Again, it's another formatting question. For those members who use a computer, would a multi-formatted CD work? A member can get either an email or a CD disc. We also talked about life membership, and that's a question because it would bring money in. The Constitution says that the CCB Constitution says that a life member is that the cost is about $200 or $40 at five installments during the year. And then number five, Mary Beth, can you help me with this? It's a change of delegate and alternate delegate, and it's a procedural issue from spring to fall. So those are the items that Mary Beth and I spoke about. If you want to, if you want me to go back and talk about the, talk about them, I'd be more than happy to do that. So the first one would be election of officers and getting back on track. Does anybody have any comment? Okay. Alternate format. And again, this is two and three. We're thinking of alleviating a two-track
cassette.
Yeah, we got the message.
Okay. And life membership, that's number four. And number five.
I don't have the clarify. Okay, great.
It has to do with a delegate and alternate delegate. It's a procedural issue from the spring to the fall. So those are the items that Mary Beth and I talked about. Mary Beth?
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Thank you. Just to clarify with number five about the... Our current constitution, and I thought we had changed this, but it's not changed in our constitution, says that we vote for delegate and alternate delegate to the CCB at the spring convention, and we also vote for delegate and alternate delegate to GDUI, also at the spring. We had changed the practice of that, though, over the last several conventions where delegate and alternate delegate for GDUI was voted for at the spring and then at the fall for the next year. And I did, we went through this and I clarified it's a one-year term. In the spring, we vote for delegate and alternate delegate to the national convention. That's it. And then in the fall, what we have been doing, but it isn't clarified properly in our constitution, is that we would vote for delegate and alternate delegate to the state convention. That would be our representatives for the state. And it's currently both of those things are to be voted on at the spring convention in our constitution. So would like to amend our constitution so that it's changed so that the delegate and alternate delegate for CCB would be clarified properly in our constitution since it's a practice that we're already doing in the fall to make it correct. Right in the Constitution. That's the gist of what's going on with five. Does that help? Okay. Does anybody have any questions or comments about the Constitution info?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. After this, I'm going to deviate from the agenda, and I just want everybody to know that.
Yes?
Uh-huh. Pass down.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, I just was curious about the action process that was mentioned about the kind of lot of flip-flops that we've done, and it's made it a little bit confusing. What specifically is the remedy for that you're proposing?
We're not planning on making any changes. I think what we just want the membership to understand is what the process is, so that since we have had a lot of flip-flop type things going on, and it just happens, that make sure that people just understand that this is generally what it does state in our Constitution, and as we're able to, we want to try and make sure we're staying with what's listed in our Constitution. It's nothing that we want to actually change. It's just a matter of making sure that everybody kind of has that down in their head. And I know it was helpful to me even just to review it. And so if it's good for me, it's probably good for everybody.
It's more of an administrative clarification so that we do stay within the boundaries of what the Constitution states.
You mean that certain officers are elected in the odd years and others...
Yeah, that's correct. So basically, what'll get listed in...
That's not in the Constitution now?
It is in the Constitution.
What's
the change?
There is no change. It's what's going on is that what happens is there is flip-flopping that's taking place. And we want to get that taken care of so that when the officers that are going to come in after us, they actually get voted incorrectly. That's what we're looking for.
Madam President?
Yeah, let me get a hand. There you go.
So is the point of this bylaws discussion that you found some areas that aren't necessarily being adhered to, and you're bringing those five areas up? Is that what the point is? Or there's some inconsistencies and you're bringing that up just to show that maybe we want to change this in the future or not, but these are something you should be, is that what you're trying to do?
If you're going to list the Constitution in forward, and then below that you're going to say, here are the changes we want, you know, subsection, blah, blah, blah. Are there going to be five changes or none? Well, I mean, I guess we have to see it in print, but I'm really confused as to what bylaw and constitutional changes you're actually asking for.
Let me go to formatting, because formatting is an issue, and we have a newsletter, or when we distribute any documentation, we distribute it in either Braille or CD or right. So what we're asking for when we come back into the fall, what I'm talking about is in the Constitution, and so we'd like to see a change in that.
I can understand that one. That's a change. So that's number two
and three.
And three,
correct.
What about one, four, and five?
Five
are there
will
really
be a
changes?
Change.
Five will be a change.
And one and two, four, correct.
And what about four?
What was four again?
That's a question.
What's four?
That four is life membership.
Is that a change?
That would be a change.
So we would like to amend
the Constitution.
It's only a question. Remember, it's only a question.
What's only a question?
Well, we're thinking that we would like to add to the Constitution in the sense that it's a proposed change. We don't have that.
So the only one that's number one is not technically a change. So it's
change.
Really, we're really talking about, and two and three are sort of combined. So we're really talking about three changes.
Right.
Okay.
So that's how I would present it.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. That's great. Thank you. No, that's great.
Three changes, not
great.
And one clarification.
Three changes and one clarification. That's great.
The clarification doesn't need to be clarified. If you send people a constitution, it'll be written there clearly.
Okay. Yeah.
That's true.
Okay. Go ahead, Jen.
Thank you so much.
Thank you guys for your work.
Yeah, no, I think part of it is because we listed five things. We didn't very clearly put down here for everybody what was real change and what wasn't. And so, yeah, that was very helpful. And so the things that will actually be changed will be the things that will be proposed changes that will go in forward. And the board will have to discuss the one item as a part of the amendment as far as the life membership goes, because we will probably want to discuss what we want that amount to be and so on as far as that goes. Is there any other discussion? Okay. Next is actually new business, and I'm going to deviate a little bit from the agenda. I am going to introduce
Beth Berenson from the Lighthouse. We have a gentleman that's supposed to speak to us about the sleep study that's being done. And if we could have the mic go to Beth.
Hi. This is fun. I actually became a member again yesterday, so Mary Beth will be happy. My colleague. I don't know how many of you know about the sleep study that is going on. Well, I know that Judy does, because Judy was in a discussion. Good. Well, I'm going to introduce to you one of the researchers, actually, the head researcher with this study. And his name is Ron Shugard. And he's done lots of different research with sleep disorders and blindness. So I'm going to let him tell you a little bit about himself. And also, if you want to know about wine in Santa Cruz, he's the gentleman to go to.
Well, I'm not sure. I'm building up a repertoire. My name is Ron Shugard. I just moved here from Atlanta about 6 months ago. So, yes, exploring the area outside of Palo Alto, because I moved to the Palo Alto VA and Stanford University. So since it's a fairly tight group, I thought I would just basically give you, and some of you have already heard about this, let me just say that we are doing a clinical trial with people that have sleep problems, and in particular people that have what's referred to as a non-24 hour. Your body clock is not 24 hours, and so it'd be the equivalent to a person that gets on a plane and flies to the next time zone every week, only you don't shift your body. Your body stays at the California time. So after about a month or two, it'd be like living in India, where everybody is awake during the day and you're asleep in the day because you're still on California time. So this company that I work with thinks that they have a drug that will help regulate your body so that it stays on a normal, you know, California time type of thing. So, and this would happen to anybody if we lived in a cave. But people that don't have light perception, have total vision loss, can't self-regulate. And so they are more likely to have this problem. So if you have this kind of problem, or if you know anybody that has this kind of problem, we'd love for you to either come by the table or ask questions now. And I think that's what I would like to do, is just answer questions at this point if you have any questions. There's lots of information I could give you, but, you know, you got better things to do than me running through the whole list of information that I could give you. So is there any questions at this point in time? You're an easy crowd. You're not supposed to be that easy. Yes, go ahead.
I have two questions, Ron. Mm-hmm. Two. The first one is, what about, is the other end of the stick also an issue? Someone who maybe sleeps a little too much, or is that a totally not, you know, unrelated issue?
Actually, I've never heard that before. Someone sleeps too much. Usually we think of sleep problems being the other way around, that you're not able to sleep, or that, as I said, you're trying to sleep whenever, but when you shouldn't want it. Your body wants to be asleep when it really shouldn't be asleep. Right, but... But by too much sleep, do you mean that in the afternoon type of thing? Yeah. So that would be part of what this would be, is if you find yourself very drowsy in the afternoon and wanting to take long naps in the afternoon. Yes. Yep, okay.
This is maybe, again, unless, I know a lot of people may not have heard of this, but I wanted to ask very specifically. I kind of eschewed this study and shied away from it because I got the assumption that I was going to be given melatonin, and I've been there and done that.
Could you address that?
So that's a very good question. So indeed, the drug is what's called a melatonin agonist, which is basically a fancy term for saying it's a synthetic melatonin, laboratory-made melatonin. Now, has anybody else tried melatonin? Has anybody else taken melatonin, you know, to see if it works? And it didn't really work, did it? It kind of, some people will say it works and some people will say, yeah, not so much. The issue with just putting yourself on melatonin is twofold. First of all, you really need to know what your body wants in terms of a dose. So that's part, if you get in this study, that's part of what we would do, is we would find out what is your natural body's amount of melatonin that really should be, that your body would like to have to help you with sleep. The second and far more critical is that your body makes melatonin naturally. And the problem is not actually that, you know, that your body isn't getting any melatonin. The problem is it's getting it at the wrong time. And so what you're doing by just giving yourself melatonin is that you are actually just giving yourself more at times your body doesn't even care to have it, kind of thing. So part of what this study is finding out what your body cycle is. When does your body normally start making melatonin? And once we find that out, the drug that we give you, the melatonin agonist, needs to be given at exactly the time that your body starts to make melatonin when it's about your normal bedtime. And what the drug will do is help keep you on that cycle. So that at 10 o'clock, let's say your normal bedtime is 10 o'clock, and it's not for me, but but if any of the rest of you are good people and you go to bed at a normal, decent time, it's 10, 11, you know, type of thing, except if you're party animals and you party all night long. So let's say that, you know, normally you go to bed at, like, you know, you start getting ready for bed at 10 and you're in bed by 11 o'clock. So the trick would be you want to take this drug at that time to keep your body making the melatonin at that time. So that you just giving yourself melatonin off the over the counter is probably not going to help you. Any other questions? Well, again, if you have any people that might be interested in this, please pass the word. There is a contribution to CCB. If you do nothing but give us your name and allow people to contact you because you potentially have this kind of problem or a friend has this problem. And then the other thing is that Beth is doing a raffle with the Lighthouse. Well, I'll let Beth explain. It'd be better if Beth explains this raffle. But so if there's no other questions about the study, I really appreciate the chance to talk to you this morning. Take care.
Thank you. Thanks so much, everybody, for giving us a few minutes. But here's my spiel. I have actually a couple spiels. So the first one is that we are giving away a $75 gift certificate to the Lighthouse Store Adaptations. So come by the Vienda table. We're going to do it at 2 o'clock because the Lighthouse Store is here. So if someone wins it at 2, they could actually use it today to buy something. If not, you can use it online. You can call. If you're from Northern California, please come in. So that's one of the things. I have two other things I want to talk about. Is that okay, Mary Beth? Very short. First one is that I'm trying to put together a bus ride from the Bay Area for Muttstruts. So if you have any interest, if you live in the Bay Area and you have any interest, let me know right now. It's just an interest list. But the Lighthouse has a bus that we can rent. So let's see if we can do that. The other thing is that Foggy Doggies, the Guide Dog Alumni Association in the Bay Area, is having a fundraiser, and I will talk about that at the lunch if that's okay when we do announcements, because I have to get the date.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah, the Foggy Doggies. They are one of the alumni chapters from Guide Dogs for the Blind, and I love the name. Yeah, thank you both, Beth and Ron. We do have three more items on our agenda, and I hope that we will. I don't want to go over too much, but we kind of need to get them done. I would like to actually combine two of them because we need to vote for delegate and alternate delegate to GDY, and we have in the past given a stipend to those delegates to go, and so I would combine the discussion about that as well with the election. So first of all, I will open the floor and take nominations for delegate. Are there any nominations? Who's going? Is there anybody going? Am I the only one going?
No, I'm going.
Oh, you are going, Pam?
Yeah, we're going, yeah.
Okay. Okay, Dan is going, Pam and Ken are going, myself is going, anybody else? Diane is going, good. Okay, so based on...
I'm going to be really crass about this. I just have a thought, this is Judy. Mary, you'd be a great delegate, you're our president, and that you're the natural choice. But you know, it'd be wonderful to send somebody who maybe hasn't been able to do this or hasn't gone. You know, I'm thinking somebody like Diane. I don't know a lot of people. I kind of like to send somebody.
I agree.
I might not usually get the chance. Right?
And actually,
Diane gets to go a lot. I just like to see,
Right. I actually am going to preclude. I am not going to accept nomination for either because I know that I have some responsibilities to GDUI at the convention. And so therefore, I would love to see some other people. Yes. Exactly. Yeah. So based on the names of those that we do know about, is there a nomination for a delegate? Yes. All right, Diane, is there any other nominations? Any other nominations? And any other nominations? All right, then all in favor?
Aye.
And congratulations, Diane. Then we thank you that you're willing to, that you want to go and are.
Yeah, I told you.
So, yeah, all right. All right, so now for alternate delegation, I'm not doing well. Alternate delegate, are there any nominations?
I'd like to nominate myself.
All right, there's Pam has nominated herself. Pam?
I'm going to be there.
All right, is there any other nominations? Any other nominations? And one more time, any other nominations? Okay, and by acclamation, Pam, you are now alternate delegate.
Now we
can. And this is good. Oh, thank you. This
You're
is so
welcome.
Good. I appreciate that. You know, I'm sure Becky will just appreciate you guys coming along and terrorizing the affiliate.
I can help her out. I've been to a few conventions.
It's good to have one fair experienced person. Absolutely.
Now, and I know that I will be there, so if either of them have questions, they're certainly welcome to ask me. I will just tell you one bit of info. We are not having an affiliate roundup, so you don't need to show up for that. But there will be a business meeting, and it would be good for both of you to go to that. So, and we can always discuss that as we get go along with all of this stuff. So to go with that, we usually have some sort of a stipend for our delegate and alternate delegate, and I will entertain discussion about how much we would like to give our delegates. And I'm going to try and keep, I would like to have the discussion be shorter rather than longer.
Madam President?
I'll pass it to Jerry.
Madam President, I believe last year we gave 400 to the delegate and alternate, if I'm, if I don't, yeah. Well, yeah, that's true, it is, but then there's hotel. I'm gonna move that GDUC provide $400 to both the delegate and the alternate to defray some of the expenses, and believe me, it's not gonna cover everything.
Oh no, the travel will be cheaper, but I second.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right, and I hear Judy seconds that motion. And believe me, I know it. You can easily spend $1,000. It doesn't take much to just for your hotel. Is there any other recommendations or as far as expense go? Okay, there's been a motion and a second. If there's no more discussion, all those in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Abstentions? Okay, we will have the delegate and alternate delegate receive a check for $400 each to help them get to the convention. And I'll talk to you about that, Pam. So then the very last item that I have is a legislation thing that's come up that's in the Senate bill this year. And Frank, can, if you would be willing to talk about this, and I know Judy, her and I both have talked about this as well.
Judy said she's not talking.
Judy. Why are you not going to talk? Come on. What comes out of your mouth, Judy, is amazing, and it's wonderful, and it's important to hear. And quit trying to make me laugh. So it's good to hear your voice out there. It really is.
Okay, so I'm going to hand this over to Andy.
As you may realize, there are many agencies of government that, when they're created, have something built into them called a sunset, which is essentially a self-destruct. In the case, the Guide Dog Board is one of the boards that is has that feature of its existence, and the Guide Dog Board is set to sunset on January 1st, 2012. However, part of the sunset process is involves what is known as a sunset review, where an appropriate committee in the state legislature has hearings about the status of that state agency, in this case the Guide Dog Board, evaluating its status and deciding whether or not to renew it for a period of time. As it happens, this year the Department of Consumer Affairs, which would be in charge of handling that that review process, is overbooked. They don't have time to do all of the reviews of boards that are currently scheduled to be sunset at the end of this year. So the committee that oversees those boards, which in the case of the state Senate is the Senate Business, Professions, and Economic Development Committee, has issued a bill to extend the sunset period on a number of agencies, one of which is the Guide Dog Board, from January 1st, 2012 to January 1st, 2014, which would mean that there would be a sunset review held during 2013. Also, as part of that, there's a a pilot project that's associated with the Guide Dog Board, which is an appeals committee for those who have disputes with their dog schools that would affect their ownership of the dog. They can appeal to this committee to review the situation, sort of an arbitration committee is what it is. The bill is SB 543. 543, that's kind of easier to remember. And that bill is currently in the state Senate. The Guide Dog Board, as you can imagine, has sent a letter of support for that bill to the legislature. Also, GDUI has sent a support letter. CCB has not yet sent a support letter because we wanted guidance from GDUC regarding that bill, whether GDUC is supporting that bill. I would mention that depending on the outcome of this discussion today, that I have prepared a resolution, a support resolution of SB 543, that will be heard tomorrow by the membership if GDUC supports the bill. If they go the other way, then that resolution would be amended accordingly. But the point is that we need the guidance from GDUC to know whether CCB should support SB 543. And again, keep in mind that for those of you who have issues with the Guide Dog Board, this is what you're voting on here is not whether or not the board should exist, but whether the sunset period should be extended for 2 years so that there can be a proper review in 2013, because they won't be able to do a proper review this year. I'll mention, I do have one other bill to mention, but that we probably will want a motion and a vote on that issue first.
This is a. I'm sorry to be talking again, but I'm curious. What's to keep somebody coming in, you know, late 2013 and saying, you know, gosh, we just don't have time for this review. We don't have to extend this sunset to 2016. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is, why do we need this review? I mean, why do we? Just educate me here.
The simple answer is, I don't know. In other words, I do not know what happened that the Department of Consumer Affairs didn't have everything all properly scheduled for the various boards that they do to be aware long ago that, oh, we're going to be able to do this many in 2009, this many in 2010, this many in 2011, etc. But apparently that's the case. Again, so I don't know why that is. I haven't heard. But that is the case that's the reasoning that I've heard for this bill is because they simply don't have the time to do the review, and so their plan is to do it in 2013. And as you mentioned, as far as I am aware, there's nobody talking about coming back in 2013 and saying, oh, excuse me, we're not ready yet now either. I mean, my understanding is that it's really the plan is that it's going to be done in 2013.
Everybody else supports this. I'm assuming, you know, we'd support it, but I just, you know, I just kind of wanted to know.
And obviously, really, we don't have an answer, and I guess this will keep some people employed, and we'll, you know, I just sort of don't want things hanging around any longer than they need to. And if is the board going to be actively doing anything during those 2 years?
Well, the board will continue to do its business that it's doing now. But accept it, of course.
I'm going to hand this back to you.
Yeah.
In other words, will the board be sitting around just waiting for sunset?
No. The board is going to be going on doing what the board does. What happens, though, is that if this bill doesn't pass, we wake up on January 1 and there ain't no guide dog board anymore. Now, it's not real clear what happens to all the guide dog regulations. I mean, they may or may not. It's not clear. But the point is that the board would go away. It's basically got a self-destruct mechanism in. But in terms of what's going to happen with the sunset review, no, it's not just going to sit on its hand and wait to be reviewed. It's going to go on doing its business.
Actually, this is Andy. I know that much about it, but as I understand it, the regulations will remain. They will just be administered by the Department of Consumer Affairs, who are people who don't know much about guide dogs, really.
Frank, this is David. Is this analogous to what you were talking about in terms of how the legislature deals with bills and they just put them in as suspense? Is this the same kind of issue that's happening?
No, not at all.
No, so it's completely different then. Okay. Thank you.
Mary Beth?
All right. Thank you, Frank, for discussing that.
For anybody who doesn't know, I am a member of the Guide Dog Board.
Yeah. yes. Yes. If any, yes. Just in case somebody doesn't know, yes, Frank is a right.
Yes.
Now, what I would like from the membership, personally, is a motion one way or another, in either in support or against the discussion about whether we should support SB 543.
Second.
Okay, there's a motion to support the bill and a second, and I hear Pam wants to have discussion.
Yes. I have no problem supporting the bill, but I'm like Judy, I want to make sure that in 2013 there is a review. So is there any way that we can make sure that this is going to be done? I don't care if they said it. They're politicians. They say it. I just want to make sure it's going to be done.
I have no reason to believe it's not going to happen. And if I get any word that it's not going to happen, you guys are going to hear about it. And by all means, if that's the case, you will want to be squawking about it. But I have no reason to believe that what's happening. I mean, I'm not sure about this. But my sense is that they've actually kind of got it on the calendar, you know, it's planned on happening. That's not just saying, we need two more years and we think we're going to do it in 2013. My understanding is that it's on their calendar to do it. But again, if I hear otherwise, and since I'm on the board, I will hear, I'll let you guys know, because I would be just as annoyed as you would if I found out that this was just some kind of a stalling technique.
The reason I seconded the motion was that, as Frank stated, if SB 543 doesn't pass, a number of boards will disappear. Of course, for our purposes, the State Guide Dog Board. And yeah, I know we're concerned about what's going to happen when this review is going to take place, if it's going to take place as planned in 2013. However, if the bill doesn't happen, a number of more critical issues will come up that we're not prepared to deal with, such as we don't know who's really going to control the regulations. You know, Andy's indicated that the Board of Consumer Affairs will maintain the policing of these regulations, or the continuance of the regulation. But we really don't know. Basically, we don't know. And come January 1, the decision will be made for us, and a whole lot of stuff will be. So just as I have a number of issues of concern as far as the guide dog board, but I think the alternative right now in this, with this lack of preparedness, is potentially worse.
All righty. Is there any other discussion? Okay. With that, all those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. That's in support of the bill then. And I will let Frank be in charge of taking care of the resolution that will be read tomorrow. that we will be, that GDUC is officially in support of having the bill go through.
Hang on, what's he wants to say?
And I know there's one other item, so.
And there's another bill, which I guess I, which for, which you could call the oops bill. It's SB 944, and I'm not sure if it has other things in it. It probably does, but one of the things that SB 944 does is that they've discovered a little embarrassing discrepancy. You may recall that the way that the guide dog board, the way the guide dog board is funded is that it gets its funds from two sources. One is the license fees for the guide dog instructors. That's $100 a year per instructor. So that's a small percentage of their budget. But the most of their budget comes from a registration fee that the guide dog schools pay. And that fee is due on April 30th. Now, that fee is based on an audit report that the guide dog schools are supposed to send in that lets the guide dog board know how much they actually, what their costs actually are, so that they can figure what that fee is going to be based on that amount of their cost. For some reason, currently the law says that report is due in June 30th. In other words, 2 months after the fee is due. So I'm not sure how they handle it now if they just go ahead and send in their audit report along with their fee, but clearly that's kind of a mistake. So this bill will have language, SB 944 will have language to move up the audit deadline to March 31st, which makes a bit more sense, so that it's actually happening before when the fee is due rather than after. And so CCB is supporting S 944. I'm not aware of GDUI having a position on that particular bill.
To me, this is just common sense. I mean, I don't even think there's anything much to discuss about it. I'll just go ahead and say I propose we approve this bill.
Okay. Would you like to call that a motion?
I call it a motion.
Okay. Is there a second? I doubt there's any further discussion, but any discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Okay. So GDUC will support both 543 and 944 SB. And I appreciate all that you're willing to come and help with the discussion on that, Frank. And just before we adjourn, I just would like to encourage everybody as strongly as possible. I will jump up and down if necessary. Since the Mutt Strut is all in place and we have brochures and all that kind of stuff, I want everybody to get brochures and letters and get out into your communities. Let's make this thing like the most awesome fundraising event we can possibly do for CCB. And I know that this afternoon they are wanting people to come and do testimonials starting at 1:30. And so if you would like to do that, make sure you go to the registration table and get your name put down so that you can do that. And just a little plug for our own little group here. We do have a 50-50 drawing, and until the end of exhibits, those tickets will be available, $1 each or 6 for $5. And who is going to the banquet tonight of our board? Pam? All right. I am going to give Pam the tickets to take to them, and whatever the amount of money that will be distributed, and that drawing will take place at the banquet tonight. Okay? So now, with that, is there anything else? We are way overdue. And so I will call for motion to adjourn. All right. We're adjourned. It's, wow, we went over a half an hour today. Hello, everybody. Could I get one's attention, please? All right. Again, this is Mary Beth Randall, and we've had kind of a late end to our board meeting. I want to have two things. If we have somebody that is willing to wander around and give people a door prize ticket, they get one. Yours is the second one, Pam.
Okay.
Yep, you're right.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Right,
and so that everybody gets a door prize ticket. We will be doing door prizes during this part of this session and at lunch.
They get the coupon part and we keep the ticket part.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. and we will probably also, when things happen, need some assistance with reading numbers and so on. I know we have a puppy raiser coming along at some point as well.
You guys should all get one as well, right?
Yeah, that would be great. I'm hoping I win something. Okay, and for this morning's program, it's not as fancy as what we've had in the years, but it's all the more wonderful, though, is having our guide dog school's twofold thing. A, just kind of talk about things at their respective schools, but also I want, we discussed this at the board, to allow for people to have the opportunity to just simply ask questions about training, all that kind of stuff. And so it would be great that the audience would get that opportunity to do that. My plan is that I would like for us to be done by 11:30 so that we will be able to clear out of here so that they can prepare the room for lunch. And I'll just go ahead and announce this now. When you come to lunch, you must come with two things. You can keep your door prize ticket and also bring your lunch ticket. No lunch ticket, no lunch. No tiki, no lunch. And we will have somebody at the door that will be taking the tickets. So there you go. So those are my two things, and I know that Brian Francis is here from GDB, and who's here from GDA?
Andy and Tiffany.
And I will let the three, oh, and Jennifer? Okay, well, I'm going to let the four of them fight over who gets to be first and so on and so forth.
I'm still only 21. Come on, Chris. Yeah. Well, good morning, everybody. Not great to be here again, although we nearly went to the wrong hotel, of course, but we found it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I do have... some of you have probably already run into Janine from Guide Dogs for the Blind. She's over there manning our booth today. And Jennifer Isaac, our admissions manager, is here with me. So those of you who haven't met Jennifer before will be able to say hi to Jennifer sometime during the day today. And we're going to be joining you for lunch as well, so we're looking forward to that very much. So let me give you a few kind of highlights, if I can, about what's going on at Guide Dogs for the Blind. And obviously I'll be happy to answer any questions that anyone may have afterwards, if I can. Many of you may know that we currently have an interim CEO at Guide Dogs, a gentleman by the name of Morgan Watkins, who is actually one of our graduates. He's from Texas, and he was a member of the board of Guide Dogs for the Blind. And after Nancy Gardner left us, Morgan was appointed as the interim CEO. And while he's in that position, there is a search going on right now for a full-time CEO, and Guide Dogs is using an outside company to do a search for a CEO. And I believe they're at the point now where they are still taking resumes and doing initial interviews with people, with the formal interview process being sometime in June. So we're hoping that maybe by July we've got some idea if we're going to have a new, or who the new CEO will be. I guess the big news at Guide Dogs is regarding our facilities right now. I think pretty much everybody in the room will know that we have been changing our class structure over the last couple of years, and one of the reasons for that was moving towards single rooms. Guide Dogs for the Blind has historically had shared rooms in our dormitories. So where we are now at our Oregon campus, all of the student rooms have now been converted into suites. So what used to be a double room is now a single room in a suite format, which is proven to be really popular, and those renovations have just very, very recently been completed. At San Rafael, we are actually going to have a brand new dormitory. So the board of directors has unanimously agreed that the a new dormitory is required, and the work on that will start immediately in the new year. So effectively, the last class at San Rafael, which will use the existing dormitory, will be the last class of this calendar year, sometime in December. And then between December and probably March next year, the existing dormitory will be emptied of all of the facilities and anything within that building that needs removing. And then it will be completely demolished and a new, brand new dormitory built on the existing footprint. So it will be in about the same place in the grounds there, but a different design, which will incorporate single rooms, of course, but also some really good improvements as far as just day-to-day working and living with a guide dog. So, for instance, relief facilities are going to be directly outside of each individual bedroom on the ground floor. So each room will have an outside room to be able to step out onto a variety of surfaces for relieving the dog. So for those of you who've gone through the program at San Rafael, you know well the relieving circle. That's going to be a thing of the past. And everybody says, hooray! So much more true to life. And we're very, very much looking forward to having that new building. So they'll start deconstruction in March next year is the plan. And it's looking like it's going to be about a year for the total job to be done. So the demolition and then the building of the new dormitory. So we expect about March 2013 is when the new dormitory will be up and running there. So that's something that we desperately need. I mean, the buildings there, we love them, but they are old, and they definitely need upgrading and renewal. So we're looking forward to that very much. As far as class programs are concerned, we've been making some significant changes to our class programs over the last couple of years. At our Oregon campus, for about a year and a half now, we've been running two-week classes for first-time and retrain applicants. And those classes have proven to be very successful in many different ways. Successful, first of all, in that graduating students coming out of those classes, the number of successful graduations has remained as high as it did with the traditional four-week classes, and then the success rate of graduates in the field has remained at the same level as it was previously as well. The feedback from students coming out of those classes is also extremely positive because of the fairly radical change that's been made from the traditional class training program. Some of the positive points we're hearing from our applicants and students and grads is, first of all, just simply from a time perspective, it is much easier and for many, many people to get away for a guide dog training program for a 2-week as opposed to a 3 or a 4 week period of time. And that can be for many, many reasons. It can be related to work, family, kids, just lots and lots of reasons. So the way that we're able to accomplish that, because any old-time guide dogs in the room will say, well, how do you possibly do that in 2 weeks? The radical changes are really related to the student-instructor ratio. So on those 2-week classes, rather than, again, the traditional 4-to-1 instructor-student, there's a now a 2-to-1 instructor-student. So there is a lot more individual work with the instructor. Also, because the classes are smaller, we're able to spend more time with each individual student on the type of work that they really need to do when they've graduated and go back home with their dog. So, for instance, at the Oregon campus, we've actually got a new facility that we rent in downtown Portland. Previously, well, it's still there. The lounge was in the small town of Gresham, not too far from the campus. But now we have this facility in Portland. So for those people, for instance, who want to work and do work in busy urban conditions, they will typically leave the campus after breakfast in the morning. They'll travel into Portland, spend the day at this downtown facility, and be able to work immediately out of that facility right into downtown conditions in Portland. That's proven to be real successful. There's less travel backwards and forwards from the campus, so more time can be spent actually working and living with the guide dog in a real life situation. The 2-to-1 ratio also allows the instructors to give students very much more individual work depending on many factors. Health, for instance. I mean, if somebody is wanting to do a lot of work with their dog and they're a very active, energetic type of person, you know, they're able to complete more work per day than they previously did under the old program, which was very regimented, as you know, in that, you know, between 9 and 12, we're going to do this. Between 1 and 5, we're going to do this. So there's a lot more flexibility. And likewise, for those people who, say, live a much more sedate lifestyle, then there we're able to work them much more naturally as to what they would be doing at home, as to what they would be doing at a normal guide dog training program. So while all that's been going on at the Oregon campus, at the San Rafael campus, what we've been doing over the same time frame is giving our students a choice of a 2 or a 3 week class. And we've been keeping mostly the 2 week classes for retrains and the 3 week classes for first time guide dog users. That has also proved to be very popular with the retrains. Again, the feedback from those guys is that, you know, 2 weeks is plenty for them to get used to a new dog and get working with a new dog, and then they're ready to go home. And again, those classes run on the same 2-to-1 ratio. For the 3 week classes, which is for a first time, if you like, traditional first time guide dog user coming in, the ratio has been reduced to 3-to-1. So 3 students per instructor. So again, there is more time for the instructor to give to each individual student. And again, with some variations in the actual agenda, daily agenda of a class, that's proven to be very successful as well. So right now, with the amount of time that we've been running these types of classes, we feel that we are going to continue with this. The next change will be in San Rafael, in that we will continue to offer the 3-week regular guide dog training program, but we will also start to incorporate the 2-week program for first-time applicants as well. So classes will be divided up through each year, some two-week classes, some three-week classes. So everybody who applies for a dog, whether they be a first-timer or a retrain, will still have that option of requesting one of those classes. And that will start in San Rafael in 2012. For the rest of this year, we'll continue with our regular three-week classes. So all these changes come about as Guide Dog looks at the what we call continued quality improvement, which encompasses every facet of the program, everything from the breeding, the puppy raising, the training of dogs, the training of staff, our class programs, and certainly into the graduate services program as well. And part of that quality improvement has been utilizing tools which, again, historically were not used in guide dog training. They're certainly becoming much more popular now with guide dog schools internationally. Things like the use of the clicker, the use of food as a reward for the dog, which, you know, you old hands would know years ago, do anything but don't give your dog a treat. Well, that's gone out the window now. But, you know, these changes have made a significant impact on the way that dogs are trained. The training is based on positive incentive, so there is very little negative training going on with dogs. And the dogs respond and learn really, really quickly using these techniques. We then teach our students those techniques as well. The clicker, for instance, is not a requirement for someone coming to train, but we certainly educate our students on what the clicker is, how it works, and how to use it. And it can be used sporadically. You know, a great example I always give is that time when you need to find a specific point, you know, a button on a pole for pushing, for changing the lights. You know, clicker and food is an incredible tool for very quickly teaching a dog to locate and take you directly to that point in spot you need to be. And the same with food. You know, food is something that is a tool, an extra tool in everybody's arsenal that can be used appropriately, that will help the dog and of course help the team as well. So we're very happy with how these programs are progressing there at Guide Dogs. Because Jennifer's here with the admissions, we've also looked at our admissions program, and some of the major changes we've made there are in the distribution of information. For somebody who is being accepted into the guide dog training program. And what we're doing now is when somebody's accepted into our program, we are preloading them with information. Anybody who's gone through a guide dog program will know that part of the program is lectures, for want of a better word, the giving of information about something to do with working and living with a guide dog. We're giving our applicants that information in a format of CDs or SD cards now, the complete lecture series that goes with our program prior to them coming for training. And the idea is that they can review that information and listen to it. It's theirs to keep. They bring it with them to class. They take it home with them after class. So it's like a reference before, during, and after class. And that is also proven to be very, 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 very popular and really helps us during the classes in that, you know, when a certain topic comes up, each member of that class, each student on that class already has some at least background information about that particular topic. So again, less time can be spent sat down talking, more time can be spent out there on the street doing the business with the dog. So that's proven to be very, very popular as well. Also within our admissions program, we're trying to modernize ourselves by, we can't become totally paperless. You know, I don't know if anyone here is with Kaiser, but you know, Kaiser amazes me. That organization is totally paperless now. You can go online, you can do anything you want, you can talk to your doctor, you can get meds, you can do whatever you want. And that's, something that, you know, we really like that. But we are becoming, using less paper, you know, things like professional reports that we have for applicants, things like O&M reports, agency reports, ophthalmologist reports, all those things, we give people the option now of completing and sending back to us electronically, which really helps streamline our process, makes that information much more accessible to those people who need it within the organization. And, you know, I have to say, Jennifer's done a fantastic job since she's been with us as the admissions manager, putting all those things together. So it's significant. Just one quick one about graduate services as well. Many of you will know anyway, the graduate services is comprised a lot of what we call field managers. These are instructors who at some stage in their career have left the training department and moved the graduate services department. And we've placed these field managers in parts of the country where we have a high density population of graduates. And we have about 13 of these field managers across the country. And those guys, of course, although they're some of them, not all of them, but some of them are working remotely from home offices, they also need to be brought up to speed on all these changes that are going on within the training department and within the class programs. So we have two reunions a year when all those field managers come in, and they over the next year will actually be participating in one of these two-week classes so that they get, you know, all the information that they need so that they could very effectively work with graduating students who leave the department, they graduate, and then of course they come under graduate services. So that's working out pretty well as well. That's probably enough. I should probably stop. Yeah. Are there any questions before I pass on the microphone? Yes, Anne.
It sounds like the instructor-student ratio is going to eliminate a lot of the downtime that a lot of us have experienced over training, when, you know, you're sitting in the lounge reading a lot and stuff like that, waiting for your turn to go out. Is that, I would imagine that would account for the incredible improvement and high, you know, good reviews you're getting on this program.
Yeah, it actually works both ways. You know, for those students who are in training who need and desire a greater amount of work than maybe they did under the traditional program, they certainly have the ability to do that. But equally important is the person who has, you know, a much more sedate need, in that, you know, the day can be arranged around their need as well. So, for instance, if somebody went and did a workout first thing in the morning after breakfast at 9 o'clock or whatever, and they need to rest or whatever, they can do that, and then the instructor will pick them up again later and do the workout whenever that's appropriate. And in the meantime, they're working with that high level person who wants to be out and about doing. So, yeah, that works very, very well. All right, well, thank you, guys. I will pass on to Andy.
Hi, everybody. If you looked at my desk, you would realize that GDA is paper full. So, you know, we haven't arrived there yet, I'm afraid. Tiffany Andrews is here with me. She's an apprentice who will be taking her license just in November. So I'm going to give her the honor of doing the update as part of your education, my dear. Here you go, it's Tiffany.
All right, so most of you already know about GDA, but for those of you who don't, we're located in Sylmar, California. It's right outside of L.A. And we're celebrating our 63rd year this June. Yay! we are considered a small school. We are small by design. There's usually not a lot of changes at GDA. We graduate about 50 teams a year. We have a traditional program holding 4 scheduled classes a year. We mix first-timers and retrains. First-time students stay a full 4 weeks, and retrains have an option to stay 3 or 4 weeks, depending on their individual needs. In the past years, we have added additional retrain classes. These classes can either be accelerated 2-week classes or a slower-paced 3-week. We also do some in-home training for select retrains. We currently have 8 licensed instructors. Our recent licensed instructor, Brian Young, just passed his test in March. Yeah. We have 2 apprentices, myself, who will be taking the test in November, and then Sean, who will be taking his test next year. We also have a staff veterinarian who is at GDA twice a week. Grads who live close to GDA can come into the school for veterinarian care and board if is available to all grads. We also will board dogs from other programs if requested. The breeds that we're using currently are Labrador Retrievers, Lab Golden Crosses, and Golden Retrievers. We are rebuilding our German Shepherd colony, and hopefully we'll have shepherds to match in a couple of years. We may also have the occasional poodle cross, but are generally not part of our program. We encourage anyone who lives near a guide dog school to stop in for a visit if you haven't done so. At GDA, all are invited to attend the graduations, our annual open house, which is on June 11th, and also a ride for guides, our motorcycle ride at GDA on May 22nd. Some fun little activities. And are there any questions? Yes, hold on, I'm coming.
All right. I've heard sort of different things about the puppy raiser program. Are your puppy raisers primarily pretty much all in Southern California? As I heard once, and I think it might have been a mistake on the newscaster's part, they were saying something about a puppy raiser club in Sacramento, here in Sacramento, from Guide Dogs of America. Do you indeed have Northern California puppy raisers?
I believe so. We have a bunch of groups down in Southern California. We have one group in Montana. There's 2 groups in Washington. I think there's a few pup raisers that have been around for a while that are kind of scattered around. But I am not 100% sure about Sacramento. Yes. Any other questions? Perfect.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I'm actually kind of happy. I actually learned, I think, 2 things that I didn't know about GDA, and so that was kind of nice. One of my things that I want to make sure that we do happen, and both schools asked for questions, but I mean, if anybody has, you know, concerns or anything, since they're here, please, it would be great for you to be able to express that you might have some concern or a question. So, I mean, if you're not comfortable talking about it at our group, just make sure you do talk to them and go to them with whatever might be happening for you to want to talk about with schools. So, because we wanted to make that something that could be an open forum for the membership at this meeting. So, don't be shy. But if there's really no questions, I guess that means that we will
work on adjourning early. Wow, which is actually working good because I hoped we would be out of here. There are two things that I get all jump up and down excited about. And, of course, one of them is definitely our instructors at our guide dog schools. But one of the other things that some people don't always remember is just how important our puppy raisers are. And I... The Gold Rush group has been here all since Thursday doing all the many things that they're doing. And it's kind of been amazing at this hotel in that until last night, I haven't come across another guide dog team while out at the relieving area. And I don't know what's up with that, but I know that all of these dogs are going outside and getting relieved. And they've been doing a good job of making sure that everything is nice and neat and tidy for us. And we appreciate that beyond belief. And it goes beyond them just being here at conventions. And, they do so much for us that, there aren't enough words to express, that's for sure. So we appreciate you guys to no end, and thank you for always being willing to come and be here for us. I know that we have some door prizes. We're going to start with the smaller ones here. How many do you have?
Three.
Three? Okay, and I know that we have...
They are three... Each sterile bones.
Okay.
And in each, there's one has beef, one has pork, one has chicken.
Okay. And then...
That, they'll be busy for a while.
Okay. So now then, I know that both GDB and GDA had a door prize, or is there more than one?
I have to give you my door prize for lunch, for the luncheon.
Right. Well, that'll be fine. We'll do those two larger ones at lunch, definitely. No one gave it to me yet.
Janine's probably got it,
yeah. I know she talked about getting it to me today, so. And if there's anyone who has not received a ticket, raise your hand and we'll make sure you have a ticket. What we will do then, since there are five things, we'll do the bones here and we'll do the other two at the lunch. And so, if you have a ticket, make sure you keep that ticket and bring it with you to lunch. Ah, and our door prizes that we have now were all donated from Petco. And if you weren't at our board meeting, we're hoping that we will have more donations down the road. So that would be great. So do we have something to put all these things in? This is mine.
Ticket. Mm-hmm. Actually, I have them all scattered in front of you.
Okay.
Do the drawing.
Okay. Hey, that'll work. Mm-hmm. We'll just randomly pick a ticket.
There you go.
All right. What is the number on this one?
Okay. The last three numbers on this one is 583.
583. All right. Do you get a choice of beef, chicken, or pork?
Chicken.
Or random, just pick one.
Peanut butter.
Hey, my dog loves peanut butter.
Bacon, beef flavor, or peanut butter.
Oh, okay. Peanut butter it is. Congratulations. That's right. I'm hiding my... Oh, grab this one for here. What do we have here?
And then the last three numbers on this one is 584. Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. Congratulations.
Did you want the beef or the cheese and bacon?
Well, she doesn't like beef. I guess I'll try the cheese and bacon.
Okay. You know, they almost make it sound downright edible to me, but you know, it's like, oh, no way. I don't think so.
And a third one.
Bacon. Okay, here we go.
And the third one is 581.
Yeah. Yes.
581, okay. So with that, that will conclude our program for this morning. Hi, everybody. Hey. I'm going to be rude and crude and tell everybody that you have to stop talking. Just temporarily. All right. I'm Mary Beth Randall, and welcome to the Guide Dog Users of California Lunch. And I think salad should be coming hopefully right away, or something. And we will commence with going around the room and introducing ourselves. Everybody is here, I believe. Hopefully everyone has a door prize ticket. We have a puppy raiser going around and making sure everybody gets one. And if you already had one, you don't get another one. Thank you. All right. And we will have some more door. We have four prizes that we're going to be giving out. So there'll be chances to get all kinds of good stuff. So, and then of course everybody needs to just make sure that they've given their lunch ticket and we're all good. So I'm Mary Beth Randall. I'm president of GDUC and I am here with my guide dog Tennyson. From Guide Dogs for the Blind, and he is a male yellow lab who is 5.5 years old. And I'm going to pass it to the right.
Hello, I'm Pamela Metz. I'm vice president of GDC. I have a male yellow lab. I actually call him high yellow because I don't know if he's yellow or white. He's 3 years old, and his name is Kingston, and he is from GDA.
Hello, everyone. My name is Aisha McKinney Wendt, and my guide dog name is Toro, and he is from Guide Dogs for the Blind in San Rafael. He is about 7.5.
My name is Robert Wendt, and I have no dog. Well, kind of, I share Toro's. No, not at all. Hi, Brian Francis here from Guide Dogs for the Blind. Nice to be back, guys.
Hi, my name is Alice McGrath, and I have my guide dog, Cato. He is now 8 years old, and he's still doing fine, except he wants to go to sleep much earlier than I do. But he's still doing well.
Hello, my name is David Hoffman from Cupertino. I'm here with my guide dog, Calvin, who is just over 2 years old and has more energy than I'll ever have.
Hi, this is Jennifer Isaac from Guide Dogs for the Blind. I'm the admissions manager. I took over from Sue Sullivan, who probably more of you know.
Yes, congratulations. Yeah. I'm Diane Phelps from Napa, and I'm working and traveling these days with Hibiscus. Now, Hibiscus is in her second career because she made 2 litters of puppies for our program. And of those litters, she had, I think there was only one career change. And the rest became guides, and one became a breeder. So she's, I say to everybody, she is the best of the best. She's just everything I asked for 3 years ago. And if I have to do this again before the end of my time, I hope you have another one like her. Evelyn.
I'm Evelyn Drury. I'm from the San Diego area. And although I don't have a dog right now, I have had 4 guide dogs from Guide Dogs for the Blind in the past. And as I was telling Diane earlier, I put my last one down about 4.5 years ago. And I thought, well, I'll try a cane for a while. And it hasn't been bad. It's been good. Nevertheless, I think it's time to start thinking about another dog, and it's probably going to be a matter of when more than if. So, 31 years of traveling with a guide dog gets in your blood and it stays there.
Hi, it's Melissa Hudson with Guide Dog Anya. She is 9.5 years old from Guide Dogs for the Blind. And don't forget about the mud strut.
Hello, I am Mona Craig, and I have my guide dog named Brooke from GDA. And she's a black lab. And she's the old lady of the bunch, 12.
Jerry, could I start with you on this table?
Yeah, sure.
If you could pass the mic right.
Sure. Hello, I'm Jerry Arakawa, GDUC secretary, and I have with me Tova from Guide Dogs for the Blind and Boring, and she is just turned 6 years old in March.
Aw. You guys need iced tea?
Hi, I'm Penny Valdivinos, and I'm from Bakersfield. I have a, my guide is Earl. He's new. We just graduated from the CNI April 21st. He's my second guide and he's a golden retriever.
I'm Diane Deutsch. I'm from Tehachapi, Greater Bakersfield Council of the Blind. I have my guide dog, Shayla Marie. My sister said every girl needs a middle name. She is from Guide Dogs for the Blind. She's a yellow Labrador, and she turned 4 the 5th of April. And I am also the delegate to the convention. It'll be my first convention, and I'm so excited.
I'm Deborah Thompson, and I have my guide dog, Drina, and she's a black lab, and she's 2.5. And it's from Guide Dogs for the Blind.
Hello, this is David Jackson. And I'm here with my guide from Dogs for the Blind in San Rafael. His name is Rolo. And he is as sweet as he can be, absolutely. I want to describe a little bit. He has a, his coat is kind of like what a latte would look like. His shoulders have, it appears to be like, markings of wings. So, it's very interesting. So, that's my dog, and that's me.
Okay. I'm Sherry Gabrielson, from Pacheco with Bruce. He's from GDA. And Bruce is at 7 years old. His face is just starting to turn gray. And we just got employed about a month ago, started working at the call center, Travis Air Force Base. And out of about 40 blind people there, we have now 10 people with dogs. Bruce is the only one from GDA, the only golden, and the largest dog.
Sorry, you're late. Not a problem. I'm done.
Okay, I'm going to take your place, okay?
Okay. Hi, I'm Linda O'Neill, and I have Mary Lee, and she's a black lab, and she's from Guide Dogs for the Blind. She's my sixth guide dog, and she's 3.
I'm Ann Kaiser. I'm here with the female black lab Daytona from Guide Dogs for the Blind, San Rafael campus. She's my 4th dog. She'll be 9 in April of next year, and no, I'm sorry, 9 in October of this year. Believe me, you'd never know.
Since your mouth isn't full, you get to go first.
Oh, okay. I'm Shirley Manning. I'm here with my second guide dog, Neve. That means snow in Italian. She's a small little lab from Guide Dogs for the Blind, and she's 8 years old.
Who's next? There you go.
Mm.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay. Hi, my name's Elena Thomason, and I have my 4th dog here. She's a golden retriever by the name of Tahoe, and she will be 3 next month. So, Guide Dogs, San Rafael.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Michael Dunn. I'm the gentleman escorting Elena Thomas today. And despite what some may say, I am not a guide dog in any form or manner. Thank you very much.
You're setting yourself up, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm Beth Berenson, and I don't have a guide dog, but you know I did the coolest thing? I went for a guide dog trial yesterday, and I had never done that before. That was so cool. Now I understand why guide dogs make all of your lives easier. So now I just have to get over the thing about the responsibility, because as all of you know, it is a huge responsibility to take on a guide dog. But thanks all of you for having a guide dog and letting me play with them when they're not working.
Thanks, Beth. Well, you know, this is Dan Kaiser, and people say in California you get guide dogs free, and so there's no price on a dog. Well, there is a price on a dog, because I had to put Hilly down. So I have a dog that's more than making up for it. His name is Pearson. He's a little over 2, and I was in the October class of GDB when the Giants won the World Series. Yeah.
This is Christy Crespin. I have great number 8, Caroline, otherwise known as Sweet Caroline or Princess Caroline, from Guide Dogs of the Desert. She is a Labradoodle. Her dad is a yellow lab. Her mom is a red standard poodle. And she's 3.5.
Wow. Hi, my name is Vita Zavoli, and I have a seeing-eye German Shepherd named Violet, who's 3 years old, and many of you know Frank Welty. I'm his wife, and he has Jeep from GDB, and so Violet and Jeep are very fortunate to have each other at home.
I'm Gina McGoy, and I have Hesper Houdini, the Huggable Hound from GDB in San Rafael. She's my double-digit dog. She just turned 10 this month.
Okay, that's everybody, Mary Beth.
Okay.
Excellent. Well, it's good to have everybody here.
Leslie wants to talk a minute.
Okay. And Leslie is going to take the mic.
Hi, this is Leslie Tom, and I got my dog in November from GDB, Romeo, but as of yesterday, he is retired, and I am going to be working for a new guide, so...
Hi, Leslie. Gosh, I'm sorry about your dog. Oh, you know, retirement is not something that any of us look forward to. We have the most recently retired, but we also have a pretty new team. Pam's husband, Ken, as we all know, he's at home, not only with some health issues, but he's just got a new dog, and I'm going to let Pam tell us all about that beautiful dog.
Okay, hi you guys again. Ken is at home. He really, really wishes he was here. He's driving me crazy. What are you guys doing? What is going on? What are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. But he actually is with his feet, and he's in and out of training right now, but he still has the dog. She's a female black lab. She's 2. Oh, she's something else. Her name is Kari, not Carrie, Kari, C-A-R-I. She is so cute. He calls her Wiggle Worm, and they actually suit each other very well. So she'll be in National. That'll be her first convention, and then you guys will see her in October.
That's awesome. Well, we're gonna let people have a little bit of time to eat. Then we're gonna come back and we're going to have a wonderfully entertaining speaker. Robert Witt is going to entertain us about the life of a guide dog in his point of view. And so we're looking forward to that. If I can get everybody's attention, we're going to move on to our program, and I am going to turn the microphone over to Pam to introduce our program.
Pam? Okay. Good afternoon. Now, I'm going to introduce this man. He's crazy. But I remember one day we were sitting at my house, and all of a sudden I started having a conversation with this dog. And it's like, I said, wait a minute, I'm talking to a dog.
And he's talking back.
And he's talking back. And he's flirting because he wants chicken jerky. So I asked Robert, would he do a skit for you guys of the days in the life of Toro? So he hears Aisha and Robert went.
Good afternoon, everybody. Well, like Pete says, Toro, he does talk. And we do... Excuse me?
Mom, I want to talk just for a minute. Well, wait a minute. Are there people out there?
Yes, Toro, there's people out there.
Mom, it's warm under the table.
Oh, God, Toro, please don't do that.
Mom, it's real hot. You know how I know?
How, Toro?
Because I'm a hot dog.
So now you know what I put up with. Okay, this is a day in the life of Toro, our day, how we start our day. We start at about 7:30 in the morning. He gets fed about 7:38 or whenever Pam says. And he gets, what is that? That science diet, lamb and rice.
Lamb and rice.
Yes, lamb and rice.
Every meal, lamb and rice. Lamb and rice. How would you like to eat lamb and rice? In fact, how would you like to eat this chicken breast every meal?
Well, Toro, sometimes you can't help what you have to eat, dear. You're a dog, for God's sakes.
But I'm good looking.
Yes, Toro. You are extremely a good looking dog. Anyway, can I finish?
Go ahead.
So, after he eats, we take our walk to the beach because I'm in this program where we have to walk for a certain amount of time. And we go about a half a mile, about a mile from the beach off the pier.
When are we going to start doing that?
Toro. Behave yourself.
I want to know so I can get into shape.
Anyway, so he's not in harness because I have a friend. Her name is Pam.
Pam. Oh, Pam. She's a pretty blonde. I like blondes.
And Pam gets to hold Toro's flexileash as we walking. I call her Party Pam because...
Oh, Pam, Pam, Pam. Oh.
You can see he loves Pam. So I call her Party Pam. Pam is this cute little blonde who loves Toro. Her and her husband, they take Toro to the doggy beach. Or they will babysit him when I can't take him places with me. And he has a ball with this family. And he is so in love with them. I'm kind of jealous. He shows so much affection towards them. But anyway, we go to the beach. He walks with us. She gets to hold his flexi leash. And he does everything under the sun except obey her. Yeah, you're right. He's not in harness. So we get to the beach and we do that half a mile down to the beach. Then we go down the pier and do about a mile and a half.
Mile and a half. I don't want to. The only reason I go is because of Pam. It's a long walk, though.
Anyway, then we get back home after that. And I don't know if any of you have experienced this, but we go into a grocery store, the one around the corner to our up from our house, Ralph's. And I like to know, I don't know if anyone else have experienced this, but when we walk in, it's...
My friends! Oh, my friends, all of my friends. Everybody says hi to me.
Hi, Toro. Oh, Toro, there's Toro. Oh, Toro, 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 Toro. Good God, Toro. And they do not know my name, so. So I told them, don't you even reach out and touch them. We also go to Curves 3 days a week.
Whoa, the pretty ladies at Curves. So much fun.
Okay, so you all getting the picture about Toro. He's a slut. Okay, so Curves now have a Zumba class. Zumba. Zumba, you know, where they be twisting and shaking and, well, anyway, Toro goes over in the corner and he sits and he fixes himself under the table so he can watch everything I'm doing and everybody else. And he is, you know, he gets petted. And they go.
Oh, I get petted so much, especially when I like look at them and raise my eyebrows, raise one and the other one. I'm so cute when I do that. You know, the bad thing about Curves is it's real warm in there.
Toro, please don't.
It's really hot. You know how I know? Cause I'm a hot dog. Oh.
Okay. K-Toro, you are a hot dog, okay? Oh, Toro, wait a minute. Hold your face over here. Let me get that.
Mom, stop. Wolves, moms, don't clean your eyes. Mom, stop.
Well, you're not a, I'm not a wolf, and so what? You have to be cute. You get those little boogies in the eyes, I have to get them out.
My boogies, I want air.
Anyway, I have a daughter who is 16. Her name is Naima. Now, Toro has issues with more than one syllable. So, Toro, what do you call Sissy?
Call her Sissy.
I know you call her Sissy. What is Sissy's name?
Oh, it's, what'd you say it was again, Mom?
Her name is Naima. Come on.
No.
So, na. Okay. Toro is really inventive with names. We have a lot of fun when we go out. I go out with Mona, and Mona and I have adventures when we leave the dogs at Soggy Dog to get a bath. We have our adventures, and Toro and his old lady, Brooke.
Yeah, Brooke. Oh, she's older, but she's really... You know, she's a hot dog, too.
Okay. And when we, you know, everyone has extras, para-stranded, it's really a adventure in extras, para-stranded. Toro is now afraid of the ramp. Why? Why are you afraid of the ramp, Toro? Tell the people.
This isn't a joke. I got my toe caught in there and it doesn't feel good. So I don't like that thing. It makes a lot of noise too. And I don't want to get near it. And then I don't want to lay down till that ramp is up and the driver's got to have his or her rump in their seat.
And true to fact, he will watch driver pull the ramp up, close the door, and I say, okay, Toro, down. No. He watches the driver go around the rear of the van and get in. He watches the driver put on the seatbelt and stick the key in the ignition, and then he slowly rolls down. Poor Toro does not like Access Spirit Stranded.
We got to tell him about visiting Uncle Pam and Auntie Ken.
Yes, Toro, I was getting there to Auntie Pam and Uncle Ken. Auntie Pam and Uncle Ken moved out to way out to somewhere else. Takes us about an hour to get there, but they moved way out to Chatsworth, and Toro has met Ken's new dog. You like Ken's new dog, Toro?
Oh yeah, she's cute. I'm not gonna say she's a hot dog, but anyway, she's really cute. Her name is Carai.
Carai. No, Toro, it's Kari.
No, it's not. C-A-R is car, and then there's I, so Carai.
Okay, two syllables. I forgot. And what is it about Auntie Pam you love so much?
Oh, Uncle Pam has chicken jerky.
Chicken jerky. He has associated this jerky with Pam. She keeps it in a right pocket. Her right pocket. And because Toro is such a large dog, he goes right up to her and sticks his nose right in her pocket. It's her fault. She tells him that, get your nose out of my pocket. I said, well, you started it. Kingston. Oh, Toro. What's Kingston's name? Come on.
Okay, here we go. Sing song.
Sing song. Toro, it is Keen Stun.
Okay, here we go. Sing.
Sing and King. Okay, they kind of rhyme. But it's K, not S.
You say it the way you say it. No, say it the way I say it.
Fine. So Toro has an appointment this coming Tuesday at the vet. And Toro, my husband Robert can't keep his hands off my dog. He found 3 lumps on Toro, so I'm going in to have the lumps removed. She said, well, she's going to do a biopsy, so we don't know if they're malignant or not. And he's not very happy. He has a dogitude right now. And
yeah, I don't want to go. They're going to cut me up. And I'm scared. It's real scary. Is she going to put me to sleep?
Yes, Toro, you must go to sleep.
Do I get to go in my bed?
No, Toro. You won't get to go on your bed. When's the last time you've seen your bed?
It's right on the floor next to our bed.
Yeah. So that's a bad habit. One I didn't have with my first dog.
I don't get up there unless you ask me. Or I don't just jump just like the food. I don't. Uncle Pam's the only one I do that with food. My head's high enough. I could take her off the table right now. You want to see?
No. No. No, we don't need a demonstration. Toro does ask permission, and let me explain how he does this. I'm in sitting on the bed, either rolling up my hair or wrapping it or getting ready to lay down, and I'm not paying attention, and he's at the end of the bed with his head laying on the bed and giving me those sultry brown eyes.
Come on, somebody,
one eyebrow is going up, and then the other eyebrow goes up. And he's sitting there just patiently waiting for me to say, okay, dog, come on. And sometimes I don't do it. You know, I say, Toro, you go lay down on your own bed. And he'll slowly take his head off, put it all the way down, and moves real slow to his bed. But in the afternoon, I let him snuggle with me, and he will lay on me, and we snuggle, and that's our personal bonding time. Why, Toro?
Why? I don't know. What do you mean, why?
Dad's not there.
Oh, yeah. The bed is kind of big, but he takes up all the room, and it's not very nice.
Yes, he gets right between us, way up, and he has a pillow. His head is on my pillow. Oh, that's okay, though. In the middle of the night, he will get out of bed and go get in his own bed, so he doesn't stay there very long. He will lay there for about a half an hour and then get out and go lay in his own bed. But I bonded with him, my first dog. Many of you might have known Ledbetter. Ledbetter was a black lab, and by the way, if most of you didn't know, Ledbetter just passed.
He was an old fart.
No, he wasn't an old fart.
He was too.
He was 10 years old. Toro, what do you do? What's going to happen at 10?
I get Social Security.
Social Security. Social Security. Okay, Toro, that's good. So anyway, Ledbetter, he did pass. I said I wasn't going to start crying to hear about my baby, but those were my two boys. And Toro will be retired at 10. And what will you get at 10 again, Toro?
Social Security.
But
you know what? When I'm 10, I'll still be warm. I'm going to be real warm. Want to know how warm I'm going to be? I'm going to be a hot dog.
I think they're sick of that now, Toro. Thank you, everybody. And that is a day in the life of Toro. Okay, Toro, would you like any parting words to our audience here, sweetheart?
Thank you, everybody. You were very nice and courteous, and you listened well. You should all get a gold star. Bye.
Oh, my. That was excellent. Thank you so much. Social Security. The things our dogs don't know. All right. Our final thing that we're going to do is draw our core prize tickets. And so we're going to need Jerry and whoever to come and assist with such things. We have four things. And if you need help with your numbers, I'm sure we can get some help. I know my number. Okay. Oh, I'll put that down. I will draw a number out of this. Oh, I don't keep these bowls anymore.
Okay, and the last three numbers is 588.
588. And what will be our first prize? Blanket and a toy.
And what we have is it's from GDB. It's a blanket with all four. There's actually five dogs on there. Yellow lab, black lab, another yellow lab, Golden Retriever and the Shepherd.
Oh! Well, how rude. And also an Irish. That is so rude. Oh, well, what can I say? All right, well, let's try this again. We have three more. We've got a shirt, which sounds very cute, from GDA. We also have a bag and a toy.
This is, shirt. This is for the shirt.
This will be for the shirt. Okay.
Oh, no, I hope that the GDA person gets this. The last three numbers is 587.
Oh, give me that shirt.
587. Wow.
No, that's mine.
Are you serious?
She really is 587.
That is
two. Yep. It's so funny. Pam, you get yourself a shirt. Go you. That is too funny.
That's too good. That was perfect.
So we still have a toy and a bag. Is that right?
And a rubber ring and a wishbone.
Okay. Why don't we do the rubber ring and the wishbone? You know, my dog chewed up the last one.
And the last three numbers, 618.
Toro gets a couple toys. That's awesome.
Toro earned that.
He definitely earned that. Definitely.
And then our last prize is a black carry-all bag from Guide Dogs for the Blind, a Guide Dogs for the Blind hat as well, a baseball hat, and an Isle of Bone toy that's in the side pockets. It has two side pockets and a front pocket. Very nice bag that has Guide Dogs for the Blind on the front.
My number needs to happen. I could use that nice bag. Let's see what happens.
Mama needs a new bed.
Yeah. Okay, what do we got here?
Okay, and the last three numbers, 586.
That's me. Seriously.
Is that you?
It is me.
Are you lying?
It looks like we rigged this.
Yeah, you guys, it is you, Mary Beth.
You know what? I'm going to let it be used for GDUC, though. How about that?
Huh? What's up?
I have somebody I'm going to let have the toys, but I am actually kind of want the bag. I'm going to use it for GDUC stuff.
Oh, very good.
So it gets out of my suitcase. But I.
So you don't need the baseball hat or the...
Oh, the hat. I might want the hat.
There's the hat.
It's a nice
hat, and it's tan in color.
That's a nice hat.
Okay. All right, well... And then there's one toy.
And there's a toy.
Why don't we draw for the hat and the toy?
Okay. All right.
And I'll...
You want two different drawings or one drawing?
We'll put them together. Okay. What's the number?
Okay, and the last three digits, is 599.
Here. 599. There we go. And I get to keep the pen. Oh, I'm so happy. Well, I'm glad that everybody has come. And general session starts at 1:30. 1:30. So make sure you go. And before we all go, please, everybody, go get brochures and other information about the Mutt Strut. And make sure that you get people to come and sign up and register and get sponsors. And we want lots and lots of people to be there.
Did she leave?
So have a good afternoon.
In LA?